Well, good morning. Hope everyone's doing good today. I am extremely humbled and honored, as always. Every time I get up here, I just thank God for the opportunity just to share from my heart today what he's been sharing with me. This morning, I just want to pose a question to you. What story will you tell? What story will you tell? There's a song by Maverick City Music, and it's called The Story I'll Tell. It's actually off of their latest volume of music. And I don't know if you're like this, but I am. When an artist comes out with a new album or whatever, you start listening to it, and then there's always that one song that you're just like, this is the best song ever, and then you listen to it some more, and then you find another song on their album that you're just like in love with. But for me, it was this song off of their new album called The Story I'll Tell. In fact, I listened to it so much the other day, my daughter was like, Mom, you listen to this a lot. And I was like, yeah, I know, I just love it. But one night I was driving home from dance, and I was in the car by myself listening to this song. And it just started to overtake me in my heart and my spirit. And I started to think about, what story am I telling? What story do I tell? What story will I tell? And what story will my kids tell? There's a quote in the line from Hamilton, and the guy says, I may not live to see our glory, but I will gladly join the fight. And when our children tell our story, they'll tell the story of tonight. What kind of story will you tell? Telling stories is one of the most powerful means that we have to influence, to teach, and inspire. Stories convey culture, history, and values that unite people. Basically, stories bring people together. Most authors believe that there are four P's that must be included in a good story: people, place, plot, and purpose. So we are the people, the place is now, the plot is between good and evil, and the purpose is that which God has given us. Therefore, our story is how we inspire others through who God is in our lives. What's your story? I love a good story, don't you? I remember reading as a kid stories by Mercer Mayer. Anybody remember reading those stories? You know, I was so mad and just go to bed, those kind of stories. I remember stories from Shel Silverstein, the, you know, book of poems, reading those with my mom. And then I remember growing up and getting into autobiographies. I remember reading an autobiography of Fred Astaire, who was a famous actor and dancer, and just the little things that stuck out, like he would eat chicken noodle soup every day for lunch his whole entire life. He wouldn't stray from that, just something from his story of his life. So if you were to write an autobiography of your life up until now, what would you write? What chapters would be really fun to write that you would have a lot to say? And I'm sure there are chapters that would be a little bit more difficult for you to pen down into a book. I read a quote that said, when we deny the story, it defines us. When we own the story, we can write a brave new ending. The fact is, we are all writing our story every single day, and we have the opportunity to make decisions for a great story of our lives. And there are four stories that God really helped me see this past few weeks: the story of grace, the story of faith, the story of hope, and the story of praise. And these are the stories that I tell. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this moment. God, use your words today. More of you, Jesus. Open up our hearts to what you would have us walk out of here with. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of grace. We all have a story of grace. It's where we found God, and he accepted us, and he brought us into his kingdom, and we started living the way that God intended us to live. Grace is defined as the love and mercy given to us by God because he desired to have it, not necessarily because of anything we have done to earn it. Another definition is of grace is unmerited favor in our lives. It's something that we didn't earn, that he gave to us. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God, Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Think about where you were when you sensed God's grace in your life. Think about who you were. If we're honest, sometimes it's not always fun to think about that moment. But God sees something in every single one of us, and it is His grace that sees it. I grew up in church. I knew God. I sensed Him, and I still remember to this day moments growing up that I could remember feeling and sensing God at a young age. And yet, I still walked away. And now my prayers for my kids, for your kids, is that they never have to come back to church because they're always going to stay. And that's a prayer that I pray. What a testimony, what a story that would be, right? But I did. I strayed. I began to do things that I knew weren't godly, and yet He still had grace on my life. Romans 6:14 says, "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." This shows us that grace is what frees us from the dominion of sin. You see, when I was away from God, I remember very vividly being in the middle of a club on a Saturday night and feeling God's grace on my life. You know, it was the moment where I had to make that choice how my life was going to go. How was I going to live? Was I going to keep going out and making these decisions that weren't godly? Or was I going to live under the grace that God has given to me? And I remember that moment. I remember everything just kind of being in slow motion, and I walked out because I knew if I was going to live under God's grace, that was what was going to free me from the dominion of sin. I knew I had to make a change. And in that, I thought of the grace that God had on Saul in the Bible and his conversion to Paul. I mean, in my brain, this is how my brain works. You cannot top this conversion right here. It was like the beginning of Broadway in my mind. Here we have a guy who the Bible says was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. And this was who God used in the Bible. So on Saul's way to Damascus, he was on his way to kill Christians, to find people that he did not like. On his way there, a bright light shone on him. It blinded him right there in the road, and it was the beginning of Paul's conversion. He was never going to be the same. Others couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But God's grace came upon his life, and because of that, God used Paul to shape the history of Christianity as we know it today. If you read the New Testament, most of it was written by Paul, who was once a hater of Christians. God had grace on his life. What has grace done in your life? What kind of story can you tell with the grace God has given to you? Romans 12:6 says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." And then it goes on to say, "If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's serving, then serve. If it's giving, then give." Whatever God has given you, he's given to you because of his grace in our lives. And we are to tell that story of grace to someone. We are to live our story of grace. God can use our past and present so that we can serve him with our future. That is the story of grace. The second thing, the story of faith. Story of faith. If anything, 2020 has certainly been a roller coaster of emotions, hasn't it? I mean, we've had highs, we've had lows, we've had lows, we've had highs. And when I think about literally a roller coaster, how many of you have been on the Predator, the wooden roller coaster at Six Flags? Okay, that to me is what 2020 has felt like, right? You get on it and you're like, and then you get off and you're like, what happened? I need a chiropractor. We're going home right now. My head hurts, right? And then you're like, never again, never going on that again. So, but what I've noticed through all of that is people of faith really stepping up. We've seen people of faith really stepping in. Unfortunately, we've also seen people that we thought had faith kind of step back and dwindle away. But when I think of faith, I think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach and Benny, if you're a VeggieTales watcher. So here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. At the time, there was a king named King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a huge gold statue built. He wanted everyone to bow to this statue in hopes that he would become all the more powerful. So every time the horn would blow, people would have to stop what they were doing and bow down to this gold statue. Well, word got out that these three guys, they weren't bowing down. So the king called them out. He said, "Is this true? You're not bowing down to this statue I created." And this was their reply. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Talk about faith and trust in God. So King Nebuchadnezzar, he was upset. So he ordered the fire, how many times? 7 times hotter than what it was. And when he did that, the guards that threw the men into the fire, gone. They were dead. It was so hot, right? But it didn't end there. It did not end there. King Nebuchadnezzar threw the guys in there, right? And then he's like, he stopped. He's like looking in there. He's like, "Wait a second. Weren't those guys bound up?" "Yes, yes, your majesty, they were bound up." "Well, wasn't there only 3 of them? Am I losing my mind?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, why is there 4? And why are they walking around in there?" He saw something. He saw an angel of the Lord in there, right? And so he ordered the fire to stop. He ordered them to come out, and the king was shook. So these guys came out. The Bible says not a hair was singed. Their clothing wasn't burned, and they didn't even smell of smoke. They didn't even smell of smoke. So the king couldn't believe it, and he said, "That is the real God. No one's going to talk bad about that God." And so he recognized who God was in their life. And then, not only that, he promoted these guys to higher positions in the kingdom because he recognized God on their life. You see, some of us have been thrown into the fire this year. We have felt it burn 7 times hotter than normal. But if we keep the faith, if we keep trusting God, you will come out without even the smell of smoke on you. You will even see promotions in your life. You will begin to see fruition in your life. And because of that, people will see God on you and in you and will be like, "Whoa, what's going on with them?" Because you had faith to withstand the fire, because that is the kind of God that we serve. We serve the God that comes through. We serve the God that's not going to let you down. What will your story be from the year 2020 and beyond? Between sickness, death, Zoom calls, unemployment, riots, fires, God will come through. We serve a God that will come through. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him." The story of faith. The next story is the story of hope. This is taken from saintaugustine.com. Fanny Crosby, she's one of America's most prolific hymn writers. She wrote over 8,000 gospel songs and hymns during her lifetime, and she passed away when she was 95 years old. All of her days, except for the first 6 weeks of her life, she was blind. When she was 15 years old, she entered the New York Institution for the Blind. And she did so well there that they asked her to come back and be a teacher there. She remained on faculty for 11 years. When she was about 20, she fell in love with a guy named Alexander, who was also blind and a musician. They got married and they were living a beautiful life. She then became a mother and knew a mother's love. But the angels came down and took their baby up to God. Sometime after that, Fanny was visiting with a friend, Mrs. Joseph Knapp, a musician, and she had just played a tune on her piano, which she had just recently written. She looked at Fanny, her friend, and she said, "What does this tune say to you?" And after kneeling in prayer for a few moments, she rose and declared, "It says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And we still sing this song today. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. What a story of hope. She lost her father at a young age. She was blind. She lost her child. And yet she still could pen the words, "This is my story, praising my Savior all the day long." She still had hope in a God that would come and be with her. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised and strength in his faithfulness. Is your story a story of hope? That no matter what you've been through, you have hope in a God that sees your future. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God." You see, stories of hope help sustain and inspire us and others to never give up. That's why we have to tell our story of hope. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." I was talking to Melissa a couple weeks ago, and I don't know how people go through life without God. I really don't. Because without him in my life, I don't know where I would be. I probably would be miserable and out doing things that I know I shouldn't do and just plain old bleh, right? I just don't know. Because I serve a God that comes through. He gives me that hope to keep going. And when I continue to have that hope in him, I can get up another day. I can breathe another day. I can say, "Okay, God, we're going. We're doing this one more day." Does your hope rest on the firm foundation of God? Do you have hope that God will do what he's promised? Does your story proclaim God's hope for your future? Your story of hope can help others keep going. Tell your story of hope. So we have the story of grace, the story of faith, the story of hope, and the story of praise and worship. My prayer is to always have a story of praise and worship. Though no matter what is going on around me, I can rest assured that God is working in me, and I will always lift him up, that I will always magnify who he is. If you haven't figured it out by now, I love music. I love sound. I love instruments. I love singing, dancing. I just love music. And I like all types of music. You know, I'm a dance teacher, so I listen to a very eclectic portion of music, from rap to classical, R&B, pop, and even some old school rock and roll in there. I love it all. But there's something about praise and worship music that pulls on my heartstrings. Maybe it's because what we allow into our spirits is what manifests in our lives. It shifts my perspective and my attention on who and what should matter. A.W. Tozer said, "Without worship, we go about miserable." In Acts 16, there's a beautiful story of worship. Paul and Silas, they were going about talking about the things of Jesus and making known his name. And they came upon a girl and who was demon-possessed. And so they cast this demon out of this girl, and this girl's master got very upset. You should read it. He wasn't going to make money anymore because of what happened. And so he got mad. He brought Paul and Silas before the rulers, and they stripped them down badly. They were badly beaten with wooden rods, and they threw them in jail. And while they were in jail that night, after being beaten, after being accused for really no real crime, they were in the dungeon with their feet clamped to stocks, it says, so they couldn't even move. They began to praise, the Bible says. In Acts 16, 25 through 26, it says, "Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off." That could have went a different way, right? They didn't have to. There was no real reason that they should be in jail. They could have been pounding on the door saying, "We're not supposed to be in here. Get us out of here. We didn't do anything wrong." But what did they choose to do? They chose to pray and sing music to the Lord. See, if you want a breakthrough in your life, start worshiping. If you want a breakthrough in your life, start praising. If you want a breakthrough in your life story, start redirecting your attention on God. We need to learn to praise before our breakthrough. I will never forget, I'll try to do this without crying. I didn't make it first service, but I'll never forget my dad the week after his father passed away. Probably one of the hardest moments in his life. His dad was gone. Do you want to know where he was the Sunday after his father passed away? He was right here. And I remember sitting a few rows behind Pastor, just watching my dad, his life story of praise and worship. He was singing, "You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name." What are you choosing to do with what's happening to you? Are you choosing to continue to worship? Are you choosing to continue to say, "My heart is going to say, blessed be your name, Lord, no matter what"? Are you going to continue to praise and worship him? Some of us get so scared to raise our hand or to lift our voice or to close our eyes. What are we so scared of? We're living our lives directing our attention to him. That's what it's about. Let your life story be that of praise and worship. That no matter what happens to you, you're able to lift your hands and say, "God, I trust you. I'm living my life for you. I'm redirecting my attention to you. My heart will choose to say, God, blessed be your name." Let your life story be of that of praise and worship. We've all been given so much time here on earth. And we've all been given a story to tell. It's up to you and I to make sure we write the story that God has intended for us to write. The story of grace, the story of faith, the story of hope, and the story of praise. What type of story will you tell with the life that you have been given? We all need to tell our story because God has given us a story to tell. Let's pray. God, I thank you for all the stories today that you are writing. I pray that, God, we will begin to even rewrite some stories in our lives, God, that you have given us the grace to continue on, the hope, the faith, God. And I just thank you for each story that we're going to continue to praise and lift your name on high. Thank you for giving us all a story to tell, God, and help us to tell it in a way that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on. Great job. What is your story? What are you allowing God to write about you today? We all need that grace in our lives. We all need to have faith for tomorrow, the next day. We need to learn, instead of running from God in our issues and our challenges, to worship him, lift our hands, and say, even as Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord today." I love you. We thank God for you. We pray blessing over you today. We pray God's best over your life, over your family. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your future. Trust him in the decisions, in the process that you use to make those decisions. And watch him do something great in your life. Lord, I just want to say thank you for each one. Those that are here, those that are watching online. May your hand rest upon them in a beautiful and a powerful way. In the season that we're in, Lord, so many changes, so many shifts, God. I just ask you, Lord, that you will cover us, protect us, and be our God. And we will be your people today in the name of Jesus, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. I love you. Bless one another on the way out. Tell everyone it's good to see you. Stop at the coffee truck on the way out. Be blessed today in all you do.